basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, state championships in wrestling and skiing, indoor track qualifiers for the states. We got all that coming up on this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast with me, Rob Jonas, editor of CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Well, let's get right into it with basketball. Section 2 is in championship weekend for the boys and girls basketball playoffs. And really, there's only been one true surprise in this whole thing. And that's over in Class B girls playoffs, where 13th-seeded Fonda Fultonville has gotten into the final after upsetting top-seeded Tamarack in the semis on Tuesday night. Now, I predicted that Fonda would at least get to the semifinals in the playoffs, or at least the quarterfinals anyway. I wasn't sure about the semis. For them to get to the final kind of reiterates the point that I made, or reinforces the point that I made back a week or so ago, or 2 weeks ago when the brackets first came out. And that was that Class B was probably the most wide-open division for the Section 2 girls basketball playoffs. Tamarack being the number one seed, I mean, certainly they earned it with what they did during the regular season in the Wasserman League. Mechanical certainly earned the number two seed. But the overall quality of teams in Class B was pretty much even as far as I was concerned. There were a lot of good teams, but not any real standout teams. So if one team could get on a real roll, then that team could possibly get all the way to the final. Turned out that this year, that team's Fonda Fultonville. So they will be playing Mechanicville Saturday over at Hudson Valley Community College for the Class B title. I won't make any predictions. I haven't really seen either team play. I did see Tamarack play, so I had an inkling about how good they would be this year. But Fonda getting, you know, to the final by upsetting Tamarack kind of makes it a little bit more unknown as to who's going to wind up winning this thing. I mean, honestly, it could go either way. I mean, Fonda has played well this year in the Western Athletic Conference. Mechanicville played very well in the Wasserman, right along with Tamarack, as well as Cambridge, Hoosick Falls, and Hoosick Valley. I'll get to that in a minute, because we'll be talking a little bit about Class C as well. But in my opinion, I could see Fonda beating Mechanicville. It's quite possible, given how much Fonda's elevated their level of play here in the playoffs. So that's what's going on in Class B. Now in Class C, I wanted to bring up Hoosick Falls. Now Hoosick Falls, they've got a terrific player in Logan Thane. And certainly Hoosick Falls being the number 7 seed might have been a little bit low for them, given how well they played in the Wasserman this year. But certainly, it offered, you know, Hoosick Falls a chance to kind of come into the playoffs with a bit of a chip on its shoulder. And it showed in the quarterfinals when they upended Hoosick Valley by 13 points. I mean, Hoosick Valley coming in as the number 2 seed and having split their regular season series with Cambridge, who's the number 1 seed in this thing, by the way. I don't think anyone really thought that Hoosick Falls was going to do what they did against Hoosick Valley. Certainly, people probably thought that Hoosick Falls could give Hoosick Valley a real game because they've faced each other twice during the regular season. A lot of familiarity, obviously, but for Hoosick Falls to win the way they did just, I think, was a bit of a stunner. That being said, now Hoosick Falls, you know, they got past Maple Hill in the semis, so they have a championship date with Cambridge on Friday night over at Hoosick, at Hudson Valley, rather. About to say Hoosick Valley. Well, when you say Hoosick over and over again, it's going to happen, I think. Anyway, with Hoosick Falls facing off against Cambridge, again, there's familiarity, but I don't know if Hoosick Falls will be able to slow down the Phillips twins. Sophie and Lily Phillips have been, you know, shooting the ball extremely well, especially in the playoffs. I just think Cambridge is on a mission. My gut instinct says Cambridge is going to win this thing, but maybe Hoosick Falls does, you know, push Cambridge. It's entirely possible. Thane is a great player. You know, she can get 20 or more points in this one. You know, that should be enough to keep Hoosick Falls within reach. But they're going to have to find a way to at least slow down the Phillips sisters. You can't stop them, but you would have to really be able to slow them down. Maybe limit, you know, each of them to maybe 15, 16 points to have a real shot. So, my guess is it will be Cambridge. Of course, we have three other girls' basketball finals coming up. The other one on Friday night over at Hudson Valley will be top seed Fort Edward against Hartford. I said Hartford always seems to find a way to get this far. I don't know if they have enough in the tank to knock off Fort Edward here, but I kind of feel like Fort Edward's going to win that. And then in the A's, no real surprise here. You know, Abel Park versus Queensbury on Saturday for the Class A final. I saw Queensbury play Amsterdam in the semis on Wednesday. Queensbury did an extremely good job of taking control of that game in the first half, especially in the first quarter. I mean, Amsterdam scored the first 5 points of the game, and by the end of the first quarter, Queensbury was up 28-9. Kind of gives you an idea here. When Queensbury is running on all cylinders, they're a very good team. Now, are they as good as Abel Park? Probably not. Abel Park, you know, being a highly successful suburban council team, being able to translate that success over the last 5 years to, you know, winning the Section 2 Class A title. I just think there's just too much experience here. There's just, you know, too much determination on Abel Park's part. I mean, I know Holy Names did a really good job defensively against Abel Park in the other semifinal, and Abel Park still won by double digits. So, kind of gives you an idea. You can slow down Abel Park's offense, but they will find a way to win. And I think Queensbury, I just don't know if they, you know, are going to be able on this stage to stay with Abel Park. I mean, Queensbury's got a lot of juniors. They're almost all juniors, actually. There's like one senior. Everybody else on the team is juniors. And that includes the starting five. They're talented. They work very well together. They can push the tempo. I just don't know if they're going to have the firepower to beat Abel Park in this game. So, chances are Abel Park wins, but we'll see. In AA, it's an all-Saratoga County final between Shen and Saratoga on Saturday at Hudson Valley. Shen defeated Saratoga earlier this year, but it was a close game. I expect nothing less than another close game between those two. Ultimately, I kind of have to give a slight edge to Shen in this one because I think their depth of talent is just maybe a hair better than Saratoga. But it's, the margin is so close, I would not be surprised if Saratoga was able to avenge that loss against Shen and prevail in this game, but I kind of lean towards Shen on this one. So, that's girls basketball. Coming up next, take a look at what's going on with the boys basketball playoffs and some thoughts about Joseph Girard III here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. If you need the definition of chalk, look no further than the Section 2 Boys Basketball Playoffs, where the top two seeds in all five classes wound up reaching the finals. So, you couldn't have planned it better for Section 2 if you tried, really. I mean, you want the best of the best in the finals, and that's what we've got here. And frankly, the premier matchup, one I think everyone is really looking forward to, is in Class B, where you've got number one Chalmont going against number two Glens Falls on Friday night at the Cool Insuring Arena in Glens Falls. Still want to call it the Glens Falls Civic Center. I'm sorry. I can't get my mind around Cool Insuring Arena as an arena name for the Civic Center. It doesn't sound right, but that's a rant for a different time. Anyway, getting back to this Class B matchup. Clearly, this is going to be a case of how much can Joseph Girard III do to get Glens Falls that Class B title. Because, frankly, the way things have been playing out for Glens Falls here in the sectionals, if Girard doesn't score at least 50 points in a game, Glens Falls is going to have some issues. I mean, granted, Glens Falls, their path, pretty easy. I mean, you know, they were certainly pushed by Waterloo in the semifinals. We knew that was a possibility with the depth of talent that Waterloo had, but basically, Joseph Girard III scored 66 points. I mean, when a guy goes off for 66 points, you know, the rest of the team, if, you know, seven or eight other players combined to score 20, you got a good chance of winning. Well, basically, Glens Falls, other than JG3, the other Glens Falls players scored 22 points, and Glens Falls wound up winning 88-70. So, I mean, think about it. Waterloo scored 70 points in the game. Joseph Girard III nearly outscored them on his own. But that's the kind of effort that Glens Falls needs in the final against Chalmont in order for the Indians to win this thing, I think. Because really, I mean, there was a point in the Johnstown game where JG3's cousin, Trent Girard, he started hitting some shots as well. And that was more than enough for Glens Falls to dismantle Johnstown. But really, outside of that one game, Trent Girard has not really been a huge factor on the offensive side. So, if everything's going to flow through JG3, which has been pretty much the case all season for Glens Falls, realistically speaking, what Chalmont needs to do is, you know, do just enough to slow JG3 down a little bit, or just have to hope that somehow JG3's three-point shooting exploits aren't quite so effective. I mean, what Joseph Girard III does out there, and I saw him play against Johnstown, so I kind of can tell you, he'll just bring the ball down the court, stop, and just hit a three from, I don't know, somewhere between the three-point line and the mid-court line. That's what he does. You know, he'll just bring it up, stop, shoot. And it goes in. I saw him do that several times against Johnstown, and every time I'm just like, what can you do to stop that? You can't. The only thing that's going to really prevent JG3 from you know, getting to like 50 or 60 points is whether or not his, you know, his shots are falling. You're not going to really defend him per se. All you're really going to do, I think, if you're Shamat, is you're going to, you know, try your best to, you know, put somebody or some people on him and hope that it's just enough to throw JG3 off just a hair on his accuracy. That's really what you gotta do. The other thing, don't send him to the free throw line, okay? You can't have JG3 going to the free throw line, because if he's going to the free throw line, he's gonna make his shots, alright? So, on Shamat's side of the thing, you got Shane O'Dell, you know, you've got LJ Randall, you got two guys who can definitely, you know, hit a lot of shots for you. So you have a counterbalance here. Will it be enough for Shamat to defeat Glens Falls for a second year in a row? I don't know. Again, what JG3 does for Glens Falls is so special. I think it's safe to say, really, you know, he is Glens Falls. He's basically Glens Falls right now. So, we'll have to see. I honestly don't know how that game's going to play out. But I do think that it boils down to, does JG3 get to 60 or not? If he can get to 60 and the rest of his team can get another 20, that's going to be probably more than enough to beat Shamat. But if JG3 is like limited to like maybe 40 points, maybe even a little bit less than 40 points, unless some of his teammates pick up the slack, I get the distinct feeling that Shamat would win that game in that instance. Well, it should be a fantastic game, in my opinion. The rest of the boys basketball, as I said, it's all chalk. Really, it is. You know, the other, I'm just trying to see which game it is. Yes. The Class D finals, the other one on Friday night up at the Glens Falls Civic Center. Yeah, I'm just going to call it that. I don't want to call it Cool Insuring Arena. I'm sorry. I'm going back on that rant. I got to dial that back. Sorry. Just call it the Civic Center, folks. Even though it's not the official name anymore. But in Class D, you've got the top two seeds with Oppenheim and Freda St. Johnsville facing off against Germantown. Don't really know much about those two teams. Haven't really had a chance to see them play. But if we're going with chalk, because basically it's been like that throughout the boys basketball playoffs, then I would have to predict that. I had to definitely predict that it would be OESJ winning that one. Then on Saturday, with the other finals, we'll go starting with Class AA. You got top seed Bethlehem, which escaped its third meeting with CBA this year with a 50-48 victory in the semis. They'll be taking on Saratoga. And when they first met each other back in January, Bethlehem pulled out a 10-point win. Can Bethlehem do that again? Probably. It should be, you know, fairly good game, you know, back and forth. Just, you know, they're two really solid teams, but you can't really say that there's, like, anybody spectacular in that matchup. Like, you could say in the Class B final with the matchup between Shane O'Dell and JG3. I mean, Michael Ortelli has been a rock for Bethlehem this year, but, you know, other guys contribute for Bethlehem as well. Saratoga, they take a team approach as well. Sorry, I keep saying as well. But basically, as far as I'm concerned, I kind of feel like it's a game where, you know, it should be more or less back and forth. Bethlehem probably will win, but it won't be exciting. You know, it won't get the heart racing. Let's put it that way. Maybe if it comes down to the wire, you know, with, you know, maybe 1 or 2 points separating the two teams, yeah. But you're not going to see the kind of offensive fireworks that you will see in the B final, or for that matter, the Class A final, which I'll get to now, between top seed Troy and second seed Gloversville. I mean, there, you know, you got, you know, some great, great offensive players on both sides of the ball. I mean, for Gloversville, you got Dante Bouchard and Joe Roback, two extremely talented scorers right there. Bouchard, he can easily go off for 30 or so in this game, I'm sure of it. Roback, he's capable of 20 or so points. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, with Troy, I mean, obviously Latisse Faison, Nazir Merritt, I mean, those two are certainly extremely talented players in their own right. I think Troy overall has a little bit more talent here, but it's going to be such an exciting game because you're going to see teams just running the floor, shooting the ball all over the place. It's going to be fun to watch. I'll give Troy the slight edge in that one. And in Class C, you got top-seeded Lake George with its, what is it now, 51-game winning streak going up against Hoosick Falls in the final. I think it was Hoosick Falls. Should look at this. Yep, Hoosick Falls. I get Hoosick Falls and Hoosick Valley confused all the time, so I have to just triple-check just to make sure I'm going with the right Hoosick. But yes, it's Hoosick Falls. I don't really think there's going to be much difference between this matchup and when Lake George, you know, easily handled Hoosick Falls during the, you know, that tournament, the Zero Gravity Slam tournament up at Cool Insuring Arena or the Civic Center, whichever way you want to put it. Yeah, I think Lake George is going to win this. I mean, nobody can match up with Chris Becker and Mason Flatley. Those two alone for Lake George just make it virtually impossible for any other team, I think, in New York State, at the Class C level anyway, to beat them. And, I mean, State Sports Writers Association, they seem to agree with that sentiment because they've got Lake George number one in the current state rankings for Class C, and Hoosick Falls is number two. And there's a gap between Lake George and Hoosick Falls, by the way. That being said, I mean, part of the reason the gap exists, by the way, is Hoosick Falls lost its big man down low a few weeks ago to injury. And that really showed when those two teams met at the Civic Center back in late January, I believe. It's really a shame because it would have been nice to see what would have happened with a full-strength Hoosick Falls team going up against a full-strength Lake George team. As it stands, you know, Hoosick Falls will give it its best shot, but I think Lake George wins fairly handily. So, anyway, when we get back, the rest of the high school sports scene here in Section 2 here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast with me, Rob Jonas, from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Now, let's see what else was going on over the past week in Section 2 sports. And we'll start off at the hockey rink, where Bethlehem wound up winning the Division 1 title with a 4-2 victory over Shenandoah. That took place on Sunday over Union College. Of course, the guy who was basically responsible for a lot of that was Michael Bevenu, who recorded himself a hat trick and added an assist to guide the Eagles to their second straight Section 2 title. Also should be mentioned that Michael Krzyzewski, sorry if I butchered the last name, but Krzyzewski, you know, he came up with some big saves for Bethlehem to preserve the lead. Bethlehem never trailed in this game. Shen pushed a couple of times, got it to within goal, but Bethlehem found a way to, you know, stave them off. And, you know, my hat's off to Bethlehem here. They've got a tough match, though, coming up in regionals on Saturday. They got to go down to Section 1 to face the current top-ranked team in New York State, Suffern. Suffern lost its first game of the year and has won everything since then. It's going to be a tall task for Bethlehem. I think the key for them in this regional is going to be whether or not the other guys besides Bevenu can provide some offense. Connor Carroll and Justin Cinelli, their line has to produce, I think, a goal or two, I think, in this one, because I'm sure Suffern is going to do whatever it can to slow down Bevenu and his line. So it's really going to come down to whether that's, you know, what used to be the top scoring line when Bevenu was with Cinelli and Carroll. Now Cinelli and Carroll will have to, you know, do what they can with their line, and, you know, in case Bevenu does get marked tightly by Suffern. So good luck to the Eagles on that one. Also over the weekend, last weekend that is, New York State held its wrestling championships over the Times Union Center. For Section 2, the wrestlers from the smaller schools really had themselves quite the day, led by Dwayneburg's Zach Lawrence, who wound up winning the state title at 152 pounds. Several other Section 2 wrestlers in the small school division wound up placing in the top four. So that was quite impressive. Congratulations to all those wrestlers on the Division 1 side, the large school side, if you will. Shenandoah's Steve O'Poulin won his second state title and finished off an undefeated season for himself. But really, you know, the larger school wrestlers by and large struggled for Section 2 at states. It's unfortunate, but they all had great seasons just getting to the states. So congratulations to all the Section 2 wrestlers who competed at the Times Union Center over the past weekend. New York State also held its Alpine and Nordic Skiing Championships earlier this week over at Gore Mountain. One very impressive performance to note, Queensberry's Hunter Montgomery. He wound up sweeping both the boys slalom and giant slalom races at states to earn two more state titles to his already impressive list of state championships. So congratulations to Montgomery. On the Nordic skiing side, top performance, I guess, just going off my memory banks here, Madison Relier from Mayfield finishing second in the girls 7.5 kilometer classic style race. You know, what more can be said about this athlete? She's already going to junior nationals this month, actually, because now we're in March. She'll be going out to Anchorage, Alaska for that. So, states, you know, she did very well there. We'll see what happens when she goes against some of the top high school Nordic skiers in the country. And man, talk about a trip, having to go all the way to Anchorage, Alaska. Whew, that's a it's a long way to go for an event such as this, but, you know, good luck to Madison, and congratulations, of course, to all the Section 2 skiers who represented our region well at states in basically our backyard. Section 2 was the host for the skiing championships, even though I think technically speaking, North Creek, where Gore Mountain is located, might be more Section 7 than Section 2, but maybe not. I'm not quite sure where the dividing line is. I know that Bolton, which I had always thought was in Section 2, they're competing in Section 7 this year, so the dividing line must be really, like, just south of Bolton, which is, like, the northern end of Lake George, so I think North Creek is actually a little bit further north. I know it's a bit west, but it's kind of right in that border, Section 2 and Section 7, but Section 2 was officially the host for that, so it's good to, you know, when you're the host region, it's good to have your team or teams do very well. And finally, the qualifiers for the State Track and Field Championships took place last weekend over at the University of Albany. Some Section 2 athletes won, you know, pair of events right off the top of my mind. Josiah Kemp of Colony wound up winning both the 55-meter dash and the 55-meter hurdles. Avery Parks, James Coca, he swept the shot put and weight throws on the boys' side. On the girls' side, Saratoga Springs' Ella Curto, she won the 1500 and the 3000 meter races. Normally that would have been the territory for Kelsey Chamil, her Saratoga teammate, but Chamil did not run at the state meet qualifier. But Curto basically took advantage and wound up winning a pair of events there to qualify for states. Gilderland's Isabella Bruno, it should be mentioned, she won two events, the long jump and the triple jump, and she actually placed second in the high jump. So, you know, certainly she'll be, she's got to be happy about that. As well as, you know, the Gilderland coaching staff. That was quite the impressive performance. And Jadera Anamazi of Shen, she won both the girls' weight throw and shot put. So that's, you know, so they'll be all competing in at least a pair of events at states. Others certainly will be going there as well. So good luck to all of Section 2's track and field athletes when they go to the Ocean Breeze Indoor Track Facility on Staten Island this weekend for the state meet. It's turning into another marathon edition of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. But, you know, that's what happens when you get to this point in the season. A lot of news to get to. So anyway, when we get back, I'll wrap things up here in Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Finally, a sad note to pass along here in Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Longtime Albany Academy coach Ernest Steck died over the past week at the age of 95. He coached several different sports at Albany Academy before becoming athletic director, as well as being athletic director. You know, his exploits included guiding Albany Academy to the 1970 state title for small schools in football. You know, obviously, you know, very much, you know, a legend over Albany Academy, and he will be missed. So, on that note, that wraps up things here for this episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. This is Rob Jonas from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com, reminding you that we publish a new podcast episode every Friday, and we will be back next week to talk about what happened with the championship games in high school basketball, as well as the upcoming regional tournaments for basketball, and so much more, I'm sure, here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Thanks for listening.